Hello and welcome to another My Tunes podcast right here at manxradio.com.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
I know a couple of weeks have passed since the Guild was full tilt in Douglas across various venues, including the Royal Hall. But I thought I really must get hold of him before he forgets me. I'm speaking of Neil Taverner, who is our wonderful Cleveland medalist for 2024. Neil, welcome to My Tunes.
Thank you very much for asking me.
Well, it's lovely to have you here. While we were just having a little sip of coffee, you were telling me about being a baritone, and I do sympathise, because when I was doing a bit more singing back in the day, I too was a baritone, and I was always being pushed to try and take on pieces from tenor material.
I've had to do a little bit of that. There's not that many tenors on the island, so every now and again I do get asked to extend my range upwards, but it is a little bit seat of the pants, so I'm definitely more comfortable down in the baritone range.
I know, I feel it, because somebody says, surely you can just get those extra high notes, and the answer is, at a cost.
At a mental and physical cost, yes. It's more mental, worrying about them in advance, I think.
Well, winning the Cleveland medal, it is the pinnacle, an accolade of the singing and performing year. Did you see it coming?
I was hopeful it might. I've been in the Cleveland Medal Final for the last 2 years as well, so I've kind of got the experience of that. I was hoping that I might manage to get my hands on the medal at some point. It's really a big surprise, though, when it does happen, because you're always in a final with five other fabulous singers, so it could go anyway.
And with a voice as glorious as yours, how often do you sing? Is it every day?
It kind of is. I don't have a routine. I sing in the car, mostly, to be honest. I'm really busy most of the day, so it does tend to be when I can fit it in around other things.
And when did you start singing more than just in school and taking it on a bit?
I did do it at school. I then went into various choirs through most of my life, but it was really only when I came back to the island just over 10 years ago that I started singing more seriously in choirs, and then met up with Mandy Griffin, and she encouraged me to do some more solo stuff.
Well, I know she listens to this from time to time. She may be listening to the podcast. Mandy, thank you for getting Neil back into it. You took a time away from the island.
Yes,
What took you away?
Work. So I wasn't born on the island. My mum was from the island. We moved back when I was five. So I then lived on the island until mid-20s. Moved away for work. We'll touch on some of the places I ended up later, I think. Came back again, really partly for family reasons. My mum had just passed away. My dad was here by himself. And also because I wanted to kind of slow down a bit from my professional life. And I was lucky enough to get a part-time job here with the Insurance and Pensions Authority, which was ideal.
So it worked.
Yep.
It worked. Let's take our first piece of music. It's a wonderful spread, by the way. I love what you've chosen. We get on to some opera, operetta, I suppose, mm-hmm. You'll say later. And there's all sorts of things, extra bits in the podcast. So don't think you're going to get it all this week without the podcast. That'll be out on Thursday afternoon. But we'll start with ABBA. Now, yes. What draws you to ABBA?
Well, ABBA was kind of the first music I was into. I guess I'm of the age where Waterloo and the Eurovision Song Contest was probably the first Eurovision final I watched. And ABBA I just thought were great. And in fact, my first LP that I bought was ABBA. And that was, in fact, I think I won a record voucher from a Manx Radio competition. Walked into Douglas and picked out an ABBA LP. I'm not sure this was on it, but I just love ABBA. I think the songwriting is so fabulous. And later on in my life, when I was back here, I was lucky enough to be part of Chess with the Manx Operatic Society, written by the two guys from ABBA. And I just think their writing is just so interesting. It kind of has resonated down the years, and this was one of the earliest tracks of theirs that I really liked.
Knowing me, knowing you.
Walking through an empty house.
All this week, my tunes guest is Neil Taverner, the 2024 Cleveland Medal winner from the Manx Music Festival, a baritone who, just like me when I was a much younger man, people used to try and push you into singing parts a little bit too high for you. But in all seriousness, Neil, there's an awful lot more written for tenors than for baritones, isn't there?
I'm not sure there is really, but all the famous bits are tenors. Famous bits of opera tend to be tenor. The heroes in opera tend to be tenors. The baritones are always the sort of father of the heroine and that sort of role.
Or the wicked uncle.
But there's some fabulous stuff for baritones. And I did a French opera aria in the Cleveland Medal Final, which was just a fabulous piece of music.
And when you started, were you, I guess, was it a voice-breaking situation? Or when did you realise that I'm not a tenor, I am a baritone?
I was a tenor throughout my school years, I think, struggling more towards the end of my teens, and then went to university and joined the Manchester University Chorus and went into the first bass section and was much more at home there. So, since then it's been baritone.
Now then, in terms of musical instruments, are you gifted in other areas?
I am not, sadly. No, I played the violin at school incredibly badly, and I tried to teach myself classical guitar. That's not really worked out very well either, so it's really singing for me.
It's funny, you know, classical guitar, people think of the guitar as a fairly easy instrument to get on with and make a few chords, which is pretty much true. But when you start looking at the classical repertoire, it's a different world.
I really enjoyed trying to play it. I loved John Williams as a teenager. I loved listening to Sky, his group. I went to see them when I was at Manchester University. My ambitions were always greater than my talents for classical guitar.
Is it something you might go back to?
I'd like to pick it up again. Unfortunately, I smashed my finger 10 or 15 years ago. I'm not sure it would be up to it anymore, so sadly not.
Outside of the Guild, tell us what you're up to singing-wise elsewhere.
Bits and pieces, really. So I've been asked already to do quite a few more things in the next year, having fortunately been awarded the Cleveland. But I've done solo roles with the Isle of Man Choral Society, did the Brahms Requiem this year. I've also done quite a few roles in musicals, with Taylorian and with the Manx Operatic, so Phantom, Les Mis, Chess, all sorts of bits and pieces, really.
Well, we look forward to a lot more of that to come. But let's have our second piece of music, and what's it going to be today?
Yeah, so this is, again, similarly to yesterday. It's kind of back to my childhood, a little bit later, kind of my mid-teens, I think, the Electric Light Orchestra. I was kind of into both pop music and classical music at that stage, so I just loved the kind of fusion of the string and the choral sound. And the pop sound. And one of my favourite tracks by them is Mr. Blue Sky, particularly also because my son now plays the cornet, and he was in a master band concert a couple of years ago at the Villa. His first experience of that and Mr. Blue Sky was one of the big set pieces that they played, which was just fabulous.
And just before we played, I think you've hit on something there. The fusion of pop, rock and classical in this outfit, in the yellow, gives it a timeless quality.
It does, really, doesn't it? We were just chatting before, Mr. Blue Sky is just going to go on forever, I think. It's just such a classic.
Hey, you with the pretty face, welcome to the human Please tell us why you had to hide away for so long. So long. Where did we go wrong? Hey there, Mr. Blub, we're so pleased to be with you. Look around, see what you do. Everybody smiles at you. Hey there, Mr. Blub, we're so pleased to be with you. Look around, see what you do.
A lot of my guests on this show, who sing or chanteurs or whatever you like, often look to France and the amazing breadth of the music of France. And that's where we're going to go today with my guest, Neil Taverner, baritone and fabulous guild performances, including, of course, winning the Cleveland Medal. There's something, Neil, about the French language, the words, the way it's spoken, the way it's sung, that has a, I don't know, it's different from, I think, any other language.
It is, I think. It's so poetic, really, and this song is an absolute case in point. If you translate it into English, it's absolutely appalling. It makes no sense whatsoever, but in French, it just kind of rolls out, and it conjures up images which I don't think it's really easy to do in English.
And it's when you start looking at languages and different versions of things, and you hear great, great German opera sung in German. It's never that gentle, is it?
I really struggle with German. I do speak French. The reason I've chosen this one is I lived in Paris for 3 years and met my wife there, Graciela. And this was one of her favourite songs and one of the albums that she brought to our marriage. That's really why I've chosen it. But yeah, French is so much easier for me. I mean, speaking it, obviously. But if I learn German, I have to learn every single word and learn the meaning of every single word. And then I have to kind of put it together as a mental process in my head, whereas French just kind of rolls out. It's just such a much more poetic language, I think.
I think we ought to talk a bit Italian as well, because, again, some of the great Italian opera works they flow in a different way.
They do. They don't for me, because I don't speak Italian at all, unlike French. But yes, absolutely. It's a much more musical language, I think, than German.
And I just wonder, where does English fit into all of this?
I don't know, really. I mean, I guess if you're not English, it's probably not going to be anyone's favourite language to sing in, because I don't think it works as automatically as a songwriting language. But so many people understand it, I guess, that it's much easier to sell internationally if you're in English.
I remember hearing an interview with Elton John many years ago, and he was really into the way the French songs told stories.
Yep.
And the way they flowed,
mm-hmm.
almost across the melody floated across the rest of the song. It
yep.
was a very
mm-hmm.
interesting interview. I must dig it out. It wasn't me, by the way. I must dig it out somewhere, because it made a lot of sense of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But let's hear this track. Tell me about Francis Cabrel.
So Francis Cabrel, he's a singer-songwriter. He's about his early 70s now, I think. So this was early 90s when I first encountered Francis Cabrel. As I say, my wife, Graciela, loved his music and brought the CD that this was on. This is, I think, his biggest selling song. It's really, really simple musically, but the images it conjures up in French are just gorgeous. It's all about his love for his wife. Kind of resonates with me, because I met my wife, Graciela. We've been together over 30 years now, come through a lot together, and this song talks about that as well.
And the title of the piece is?
Je l'aime à mourir, which is a good example, because that sounds really romantic in French, but I love her to death kind of doesn't.
Exactly.
Moi je n'étais rien et voilà qu'aujourd'hui je suis le gardien du sommeil de ces nuits. Je l'aime mourir. Vous pouvez détruire tout ce qu'il vous plaira. Elle n'a qu'à ouvrir l'espace de ses bras pour tout reconstruire. Pour tout reconstruire, je l'aime mourir. Elle a gommé les chiffres des horloges du quartier. Elle a fait de ma vie des cocottes en papier, des éclats de rire. Elle a bâti des ponts entre nous et le ciel, et nous les traversons à chaque fois qu'elle ne veut pas dormir, ne veut pas dormir. Je l'aime à mourir. Elle a dû faire toutes les guerres pour être si forte aujourd'hui. Elle a dû faire toutes les guerres de la vie et l'amour aussi. Elle vit de son mieux son rêve d'opaline. Elle danse au milieu des forêts qu'elle dessine. Je l'aime mourir. Elle porte des rubans qu'elle laisse s'envoler. Elle me chante souvent que j'ai tort d'essayer de les retenir, de les retenir. Je l'aime mourir. Monter dans sa grotte cachée sous les toits, je dois clouer des notes à mes sabots de bois. Je l'aime mourir. Je dois juste m'asseoir, je ne dois pas parler, je ne dois rien vouloir, je dois juste essayer de lui appartenir, de lui appartenir. Je l'aime mourir. Elle a dû faire toutes les guerres pour être si forte aujourd'hui. Elle a dû faire toutes les guerres de la vie et l'amour aussi. Moi je n'étais rien, voilà qu'aujourd'hui je suis le gardien du sommeil de ces nuits. Je l'aime mourir. Vous pouvez détruire tout ce qui vous plaira. On n'aura qu'à ouvrir l'espace de ses bras pour tout reconstruire, pour tout reconstruire. Je l'aime mourir.
Yesterday, in our My Tune spot with my guest, Neil Taverner, he mentioned being in France for 3 years and meeting his lovely wife in France. What were you doing in France?
I was working there, so I was on secondment from my company in the UK to their parent company in Paris, travelling around the world doing insurance company mergers and acquisitions. And Graciela was studying at the Sorbonne, and we got together and everything went from there, really.
Fabulous. And did you have time to do any singing when you were in Paris?
I didn't at all. I was travelling so much, I had no time for any sort of regular rehearsals or anything like that. So, no, very much not, unfortunately.
Could I ask you something about the nature of the human voice? When does a baritone peak? How long have you got at the top, and when does it start going off?
I have absolutely no idea. I'm obviously a very, very late starter in terms of solo singing. You asked about, you know, winning the Cleveland Medal. I was hopeful that I would do before my voice started declining again. I have no idea. I'm just thankful that I've managed to get my baritone voice out and successfully so before it's no longer successful.
Well, the reason I mention it is because when I've talked to singers of a higher register, like sopranos, for example, they know that that will come to an end. Mm-hmm. But singers who have a lower register and have control of that lower register, mm-hmm, I think can go on quite a bit longer.
Quite possibly. I mean, I think if you choose your repertoire carefully, it probably is quite possible to carry on. And you think of, you know, baritones like Thomas Allen. Yeah, he's moved on from the heroic roles into the sort of slightly comedic older roles very, very successfully.
You mentioned, must have been a couple of days ago, a bit of Lloyd Webber, your joy of being on stage, that lovely production of Chess, which I went to see twice, by the mm-hmm way, not just because of my friend Sarah Elder was in it. Sarah, you were brilliant, by the way, but because it was just a really, really powerful show. And I'd never seen it. I'd heard it. Yep. I knew the songs, but I'd never ever seen mm-hmm it. And it was fabulous. Do you really enjoy that side of things?
I surprisingly did, yes. I mean, it was Phantom was the first show that I did, actually. I auditioned for it with Taylorian, never having done that kind of show. I was just about to turn 50, so quite a late starter. So I auditioned for it and was absolutely gobsmacked to get one of the principal roles in it as Monsieur Firmin, the one of the two opera house owners. And it was just such a joy to be part of that, you know, discovering so much of what goes on behind the stage. I mean, it's enjoyable to see a show from the front of the house, but to see what's going on backstage all the way through the rehearsal process, the technical rehearsals, and then the sort of clockwork machinery that goes on behind the scenes with people rushing about getting changed from one costume to another, and you know exactly where everyone's going to be backstage at every moment of the show. It was just such a joy to be part of such a big team delivering something so entertaining.
And this guild, you were reunited with your Christine.
Exactly. So that was a great joy to see Emily again.
She was back. Coates.
Emily Coates, yes, who was Christine. So I hadn't met Emily before Phantom, and I don't think I've actually seen her since until the Cleveland Medal final. So that was a really great pleasure to be on stage with her again.
She was superb in that role. Again, another show, had to go twice and got up into the gods for a second shot at that, and it was just magnificent. The whole thing was fantastic. Let me just explain to our dear listener that this day's worth of My Tunes will be wrapped up shortly, but in the podcast coming up later, we're going to talk a lot more about a lot more. So don't think you've heard it all. You haven't. You can get the podcast at manxradio.com or your regular podcast provider this afternoon. But for now, Neil, let's have something from Phantom of the Opera. So what's it going to be?
Well, it's the title track from Phantom. And while I wasn't on stage for this part, I was actually doing some of the backing vocals. But I really chose it just because of the introduction and that powerful kind of organ and throbbing bass line, which just even now just conjures up the images of being backstage throughout those 2 weeks of performing Phantom with Taylorian.
Well, for now, thank you, Neil Taverner, the wonderful Cleveland Medal winner for 2024. Let's have Phantom of the Opera, and we'll talk some more in the podcast coming out later. Phantom of the Opera, the original London cast recording, the choice of Neil Taverner, who's been my MyTunes guest all this week. And welcome to the podcast. Thank you very much for joining us. Neil, I want to ask you now, when did you first get exposed to classical music?
Well, that was at secondary school, I think. I had the slightly unusual experience of going to a secondary school where my father was the headmaster at Castle Rushen, so that was kind of interesting. But I had the great joy of being taught music for the first 4 years I was there by Alan Pickard, who was head of music at Castle Rushen. And I think that was really from him. I have a very vivid memory of sitting in the assembly hall on Fridays, where Alan would always pick a piece of classical music to be played to the gathered masses of pupils. And one of the biggest impacts on me was I think very early on. I think Benjamin Britten might have died in that first year that I was at Castle Rushen, and Alan chose The Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra to play the finale of, and I just sat absolutely transfixed. We had massive speakers at the side of the stage, and it was just blasting out the final few bars where the brass are powering through their the Purcell theme that The Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra is based on, while the strings are going berserk all around. I just thought, that just sounds so exciting. And I must have gone home and told my parents about, well, my dad was obviously there, told my mum about it as well. And I think Christmas was just coming up, and they bought me a little cassette deck and a tape of that, and I just must have worn that tape out, because I played it so often in my bedroom.
It is fascinating how one person, one piece of music, can light a fire in a young person's brain.
Absolutely. And Alan certainly did that, because I then went on in the school orchestra, the junior choir, the senior choir, the Manx Youth Choir, which was just such a fabulous experience to be part of for many, many years. Just being exposed to fabulous music, making music together. And it all went from there, really.
Well, before we play it, I just want to thank Mandy again, Mandy Griffin, for making sure you got back onto the singing circuit here in the Isle of Man. Neil, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Have a great rest of the year.
Thank
I know
you
there's
very much.
Concerts coming up. There's all sorts of things. We'll be talking about those throughout the year. But for now, thank you. And let's have this great finale. Simon Rattle conducting, I think we're going for The Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra. Inspirational music, Benjamin Britten, a piece from The Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra. The final choice of my wonderful guest, the Cleveland Medal winner for 2024, Neil Taverner. Neil, thank you so much, and thank you for joining me, Mark Tiley, on this marvellous MyTunes podcast. Keep coming back here to manxradio.com. Loads more to come every single day, podcast that is. And join me when you can for the morning show, 9:30 to 12, Monday to Friday at Manx Radio.